always, when there's holidays such as this weekend, the media picks up on it and shares a lot of stories. And once somewhere I read, the National Center for Fathering recently declared that fatherhood is experiencing an awakening, citing evidence that men are discovering what it means to be a father in bigger ways. And according to the study, dads today are more involved today than 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago. And so here were two facts that they used to demonstrate that. In the past 25 years, the number of dads present at their children's births has risen from 27% to over 90% today. Another fact was that more than 75% of men say that they would trade rapid career advancement for more time with their families. So certainly liked reading that. And of course, then you hear some of the stories that are shared about children, and some of them are shared on stories like on the shows like Little Big Shots, or years and years ago, kids say the darndest things. But stories like this: a father of five came home with a new toy, called all his children into the den, and once they arrived, he asked them a question about who would receive the present. And so his question was, who is the most obedient, never talks back to mother, and does everything that mother says to do? And there was silence among the children until all together they said, you play with it, daddy, and they all left the room. And then another cute one: sometimes it gets confusing. We give our children advice, and we set examples for our children. One little child wrecked his tricycle, came running home to his daddy, and said, daddy, I wrecked my tricycle. What's the word you use when you hit the golf ball badly? Let's bow our heads in prayer. God, this is a day that we set aside to focus on dads, and with that comes just a wide range of emotions, from joy and thanksgiving for the earthly dad that we've had, to sorrow because a father that may no longer be with us, to anger and hurt and frustration. The emotions are all over the gamut. But God, there is one constant, one true father who provides all that we need, and who is consistently present in a way that builds and grows us. And so we pray to you in the name of Jesus. Amen. I'm not a dad, and I promise you that I will never be a dad. So I bring you a message as one who had a dad, one who observes a lot of dads walk in daily life, and as one who also turns to the Word of God for wisdom this day for dads. When I think about the male population, nearly every male can father a child, and I do say nearly because I know that's not always, but the reality is that a male can father a child, and from that moment, a choice is given to all men. And that is, am I going to follow up with the child? Am I going to commit to the child, or will I be a good dad? Will I be a good dad? And to be a good dad to me says lots of things. It says there's commitment, and it says that there's effort, and there's love that is shared with your wife and with the children. There's dedication. There's provision for the needs of the child and children. And those are just some of the things that I thought of quickly, and I know that as some of you think about a good dad, you probably could add others to that list. When I think about a disciple-making dad, to me, that indicates a dad who strives for the ultimate for his child and his children. This dad is probably already a good dad, but realizes that what is most important about being a dad is beyond being a good dad. It's beyond what we can humanly do. A disciple-making dad decides that the absolute best that he can give his children is beyond his own means and his own abilities, and so that at that point, disciple-making points to God, who is the perfect father. A disciple-making dad knows that first he has to understand himself as a disciple of Jesus and then to commit to continually growing in his relationship with Jesus, and only then can he point his children in that same direction so that they too will be growing disciples in their lives. So disciple-making dads have this continuous focus in their lives. So today what I took a look at was five scriptures that I thought definitely speak to what it means to be a disciple in general, but also how it speaks to how men can become a disciple-making dad. So the first one I share with you today is kind of really an overall of how it works, and I think the thing that it stresses is that to be a disciple-making dad, first, you have to be a growing disciple yourself in your own life and in your relationship with Jesus. So I took a look at Psalm 128 at the first four verses, and I share those with you. Happy is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. You shall eat the fruit of the labor of your hands. You shall be happy, and it shall go well with you. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your children will be like olive shoots around your table. Thus shall the man be blessed. I like it in verse 1, and it says, happy is the one who fears the Lord. And I think that's always important for us to remember that when we speak about fearing the Lord, we don't go down the route of being afraid as if God is someone who frightens us or tries to scare us. That fear is a real sense of awe and honor and respect. So happy are we when we understand and we honor and we respect God. And when we choose to follow his ways, when we take God seriously, when we don't try to father on our own, when we realize that God has provided the way, and when we choose to walk in his ways, further than in the psalm is described what life looks like. In verse 2, it describes that, you know, you'll eat the fruit of the labor of your hands, you shall be happy, and it shall go well for you. And isn't that often what we talk about, what we desire in life, as we desire success and to be blessed and to be happy and all those things. But in the scripture, it says, you shall have all of those things as long as you walk in the way of God, and as long as you take God seriously, and ultimately you will see the results in your family, in your household, and with your wife. There's a quote that I think kind of summarizes this scripture, and it says, a child is not likely to find a father in God unless he finds something of God in his father. A beautiful reminder of that connection and that commitment as dads that we make when we're a disciple-making dad. I like to call one of the ways, another one of the scriptures we'll look at, is kind of the way of achieving this disciple-making dad. And it's called C323 Living. And I kind of created a pie chart here for us to see what this looks like. Typically living. The pie chart looks like this. Many, many things going on in our lives. Family, money, school, work, sports, etc. And in this pie chart, Jesus is one of the many with the same weight and the same place and the same amount of focus. But I like to believe that if we become a C323 living, here's what happens to that pie chart. Jesus shifts to the middle of everything. And then everything that we do from there begins with Jesus. It is modeling Jesus, and it affects absolutely everything in our lives. And so what is C323? Well, it's based on a scripture, and the scripture is Colossians chapter 3, verse 23, that reads, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord. And I think that that's what the C323 living in these charts show, is that whatever you do in your life, whatever is around that makes up that chart, when Jesus is in the middle of that, when Jesus is central and affects and begins everything else, it's just like the psalmist says, it says that everything becomes fruitful, everything becomes blessed. And that's what God desires for us. I think as Chris sang that song just before my message, and he asked, why do you make God so small? Why do you think that you're the king of the world? Why do you miss that really God is the king of the world? And isn't that really, really what that means? Is why do we miss not being a C323 Christian? Why do we mess that up? Who is the perfect father? It's God. Why do we reinvent the wheel? The perfect father made disciples, and the disciples made disciples, and the disciples made disciples, and it has continued on and on. So why don't we continue to make those disciples in our own families? There are really four practices that we practice within our lives that help us to become this C323 disciple. And what I like to refer to those as, they are acts of inflow. These are acts that flow into our hearts. And those are, we study scriptures to know God, being prayerful, knowing that we are extravagantly loved by God, and then a worship-filled life. When we inflow all of these things into our lives, that is how we are becoming disciple-making dads. And the purpose of inflow is not simply that we become these big holding tanks. The purpose of inflow is that there is outflow. And so whatever we're flowing in is what overflows and flows out. So if we're inflowing the study of Scripture, of God's Word, and we become so filled with it, what outflows in our life and the way that we live and everything that we say and do, those Scriptures become real, become life to us, and that's what we share and that's what we make known to others. When we inflow such a strong, prayerful life, when we inflow so much that we connect with God and pray regularly, what outflows is the results of that prayerfulness as we are continually praying for others. When we inflow and understand ourselves to be so extravagantly loved by God, what outflows from our life is that extravagant love that we've come to know that we just can't help but wait to share with others. When I was thinking about this idea, this concept of inflow and outflow, a visual for me became the Dead Sea. Dead Sea over in Israel is the lowest point on earth, and the water in the Dead Sea is 10 times saltier than any ocean that we have, and the water there feels like olive oil mixed with some sand. And yes, there is truth that because of the makeup of that water, we could be over there on a Sunday morning and float on our backs and read the Sunday paper for as long as we would like without any effort of floating in that water. Those are all very true. But here's what I want us to know about geographically, about the Dead Sea inflow, outflow. The inflow to the Dead Sea comes from the north. Comes from the Sea of Galilee. Sea of Galilee has the main tributary that connects to the Dead Sea is the Jordan River. There's a few other little rivers that join along the way, but the Jordan River is the main tributary that feeds, that inflows to the Dead Sea. Over the years, because of the dryness and the need to grow crops, there's been much irrigation from many of the countries that surround the Jordan River, so that they have pulled so much water out of the Jordan River that the inflow into the Dead Sea has decreased tremendously. Along with evaporation issues, what we've seen over the years is an extreme shrinkage in the size of that Dead Sea. And if you can see on these slides how it's shrunk over the years, and some predict that by the year 2040 or so, that the Dead Sea may actually be all dried. And that's because the inflow to the Dead Sea has deteriorated. What also happens in the Dead Sea is there is no outflow. The water that flows into the Dead Sea sits there, and it doesn't go anywhere. And so that water is becoming stagnant, and it's drying up. And for me, that's this picture of what we talk about when we talk about being a C323 dad and how we need this inflow so that we are growing as disciples, so that the outflow that we share with our families is all about disciple making in our families. Another scripture from the Old Testament. that I find is helpful this day. It calls dads to teach and instruct their children in knowing and understanding God. And Jim read this scripture, this from Deuteronomy just a few moments ago. And I think this is a beautiful reminder to fathers that, you know, it is no one else's responsibility to be the teacher and the instructor in our homes. Dads, hold that responsibility. It's not on the arms of Sunday school teachers, but dads need to take this on seriously. Those words from Scripture say, keep these words that I am commanding you today in your heart. Recite them to your children and talk about them when you are at home and when you're away, when you lie down and when you rise. Bind them as a sign on your hand, fix them as an emblem on your forehead, and write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. That last sentence reminds me how it is to be a part of everything who we are. I mean, it's to be bound on our hands, it's to be on our forehead, it's to be on our homes. Everywhere we go, everywhere we're seen, this is what people would see and know about us. Then we would be a Deuteronomy 6 disciple-making dad. This disciple-making dad actively engages his children and teaching them the lessons that God needs and wants them to know. And I think because of this call for this teaching, I think the other things that also is not said but is indirectly said here is, you know what? It takes time for this to happen. So dads need to be actively and presently engaged and giving time to their children. There was an ambassador to Great Britain who was under Abraham Lincoln, and he had a son who recalled this moment in his life. The best day of my life when I was growing up was that day when my dad took me fishing. I remember that we talked and we spent time together. And that son wrote about that in later years. And then years later, a historian who was going through the ambassador's paperwork and his diary found that this father, he also mentioned that day in his diary. But this is what that father had to say about that day. Went fishing today with my son. The day was wasted. Our Father desires that we spend the time with one another. And so when we talk about sharing the love of Christ with our children, it takes time. And so I believe what they say when they say you're doing all these things with your children, you need to teach them. It says, you know what? Waste time with your children and do it consistently, because our God consistently wastes time with us in the way that he shares his love, in the way that he provides, in the ways that he continually cares. And God is always consistent in every way that he spends time with us, always, that he wastes time with us. Another scripture I chose for this message is from the New Testament, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 9 through 12. And before I read it, I want you to know that these are words that the Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Thessalonica. And he writes in the beginning, I believe, to say that we were with you, and we are trying to live as an example of what we would desire for you. And so he speaks. You remember our labor and toil, brothers and sisters? We worked night and day so that we might not burden any of you while we proclaimed to you the gospel of God. You are witnesses, and God also, how pure, upright, and blameless our conduct was toward you believers. As you know, we dealt with each one of you like a father with his children, urging and encouraging you and pleading that you lead a life worthy of God, who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. Paul says, you know, this is what we're trying to model. And I love that what he emphasized there was that they were trying to be like what they would hope each father would be like their children. And I like in this scripture that he emphasized, so that includes, I want you to be continually urging and encouraging and call yourself and your children to lead a life worthy of God. And I appreciate that, how much our children do need that kind of urging and encouraging and pleading, not as a begging, but as being persistent and never giving up, never giving up the continual urge and plead and encourage that our children would know God as we would desire them to know. In accomplishing this task, one of the things that I think becomes very important in parenting is that we do pray for our children. And that's one of the ways that we can be that continual presence of urging and pleading and encouraging. And Steve Farrar, in a book, In Standing Tall, he used a strategic metaphor for a dad that I think is very helpful to understand how important and powerful prayer can be. A godly father is the unseen spiritual submarine who lurks below the surface of every activity of his child's life. A man who has put on the full armor of God and goes to warfare on his knees for his children is a force to be reckoned with. We cannot be with our children 24 hours a day. Through our prayers, we have the ability to affect situations even when we are not physically present. You may be undetected, but that does not mean that you are ineffective. And so sometimes this urging and encouraging and pleading needs to happen behind the scenes. And I believe that that's what this author is saying to us. And so when our children are away, when our children are living in another state, going to another school, the way that we may continue to be consistent in presence with them may not be a physical presence, but instead is that prayerful connection that we can have with our children. I often remind parents having a child that becomes a prodigal and not able to have a physical relationship with the child, that again, that urging and that encouraging and that pleading comes through prayer for that child who is prodigal. John Piper, a very well-known pastor, has said this about when we parent and how we parent. Your residence is a launching pad for missiles of missionary zeal aimed at the unreached peoples of the world. So not only is our disciple-making about our children and what goes on in our homes, but also it's to be about how we can make a difference in the bigger world. And so again, I go back to our lives are not all about inflow. Our lives are to be inflow, we're not a holding tank, inflow and then outflow. And that's exactly what he's saying. So it's not just about taking care of our family within the walls of our home, but it's also understanding that we are to be dads in an entire world. Yesterday, I performed a wedding, and one of the prayers that I fairly consistently pray and offer during the ceremony for me speaks to this exact understanding that, again, as a couple is beginning their life together, that life is not just about the two of them, but ultimately what God desires is that what outflows from their relationship is how they connect and how they minister to an entire world. So my prayer reads like this for a wedding. Eternal God, bless and fill in the couple with your Holy Spirit as they join in marriage. May they give their vows to each other in the strength of your steadfast love. Enable them to grow in love and peace with you and with one another all their days, and that they may reach out in concern and service to the world. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, amen. And again, disciple-making dads want to share with their family that's within their walls, but that is to have an effect, an outflow even larger than that. I don't know. Maybe sometime in your life you've tried this discipleship and focus, and I don't know, maybe you found no power or truth, or maybe you found that it didn't make any difference. But I say, if you've tried it once, maybe did we try enough? Maybe did we commit ourselves enough to that change? I liken this to playing the piano. You know, when I once tried to play the piano, I couldn't make any sense of the sharps and the flats and the quarter notes and the eighth notes, and I just gave up because there was no music in that piano for me. So was the problem the piano, or was it me? And if I ask that question of Ray Larman, what it took to be able to play such beautiful music from that piano, what it took, and I'm sure what he would say to me is it took consistent practice, consistent commitment, and consistent passion. So if you haven't found that there's that opportunity for God to be that in your life, maybe you can try again. Because maybe you haven't yet realized that there is so much more possibility in life when you're a C323 dad than doing it without God. In the Old Testament, Joshua led the nation of Israel to the promised land. And he led them through that battle. And he led them through that time when they became established in this land that they had always been promised. He was the leader there. And he knew his days were coming to an end. And so he preached his final messages. And in one of those messages, he finished with these words, which are in Scripture. "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And Joshua was saying there, and as he spoke those words, "All that I am asking of you," speaking to the Israelites, "all I'm asking of you now that you're in the Holy Land, you can expect of me. All I'm asking of you is what you can expect of me." And then Joshua signed his name, and those were the things that he agreed to. So dads, as you in your house, can your family expect that you are living and serving the Lord and that you're going to sign your name to the hat? Because when we do that and sign our name to that, we open up new possibilities for our homes. New possibilities such as I've read in a poem, "I'll Be Like You." "His little arms crept around my neck, and then I heard him say four simple words I can't forget, four words that made me pray. They turned a mirror on my soul, on secrets no one knew. They startled me, I hear them yet. He said, I'll be like you." And that's what Joshua hoped when he spoke those words, is that those persons would hear his commitment, would see his commitment, and that they would turn around and say, "You know, I want to be like you. I want that." Maybe you, in closing, maybe you remember when you were a child, or maybe you, when you were a child, or maybe you're now the parent now and you've done this. But it's time for dinner, and perhaps you've been the one to prepare the dinner. And so the family's scattered throughout the house, and you shout out, "Come, dinner's ready." And then you hear somewhere in the house, "We're coming." And then you wait, because nobody's there yet. And you say those words again, "Come, dinner's ready." And you wait, and there's no feet under the table yet. "Come, dinner's ready." And then you hear that, "We're coming," again. And so finally, for the fourth time, your response could be, "Stop coming and come. Stop coming and come." And maybe that's what some have been saying for a long time to making these extra steps to growing disciples in your home and making that kind of commitment. Maybe for too long, the response has been, "I'm coming. I'm going to get this included. I'm going to get this done. I think this is important. I buy into this." So maybe for too long, you've been saying, "I'm coming." And what Scripture really says to us and what God says, just come and just do it and just get it done. So dads, today maybe you can select one of these scriptures that you've heard that touches your heart. And I always believe that when we talk about something touching our heart, or maybe a scripture or something you heard today is a little bit annoying, or maybe you're not sure, it makes you uncomfortable, maybe it makes you a little bit angry. And I often say when we experience those kinds of moments, when we've heard God's word, that truly is God nudging and saying, "You know, I want you to wrestle with this one. Yeah, I want you to be a little bit uncomfortable. And so what are you going to do? Are you going to come? Are you still going to continue to be coming?" Because that's what that experience is meant to do, it's God nudging us. When you get in your car and you leave here today, I would invite everyone, as persons are getting in their respective seats and before starting the ignition, that dads take that time just to turn and tell their family how much they love them. And then also share maybe one thing that you've heard from this message today that you'd like to put into practice as you spend this next upcoming year becoming a disciple-making dad. Will you bow your heads in prayer with me, please? Gracious and holy God, as we talk about dad, as we hear in Scripture instructions about dads, as we read in Scripture examples of dads, some have been what we would say are good dads, some are dads that have struggled. God, what you continually give to us is that encouragement and that wisdom that we need to grow into this capacity. So God, I just pray as each one of us hear this word spoken and sung this day that we may be challenged, that we may be challenged to realize that oftentimes you are the one who's nudging us. Oh, just open our hearts and minds so that we can consider the way that you may be nudging each one of us individually. Because, yeah, you call dads to be disciple-making in their homes, but we can't forget that you call all of us to continually grow in our discipleship also. So God, just open our hearts and our eyes and our minds to hear so that we may see and so that we may follow you. In the name of Jesus, amen.